Every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun and snap the jobs again. And every task you undertake becomes a piece of cake, a lark, a spree. It's very clear to see that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way. A robin feather in his nest has very little time to rest while gathering his bits of twine and twig. Though quite intent in his pursuit, he has a merry tune to toot. He knows a song will move the job along. For a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way. Fetch the nectar from the flowers to the throne. Never tire of buzzing to and fro, no. Because they take a little nip from every flower that they sip, and hence they find their task is not a grind. For a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way. Yeah, yeah.
Henry Connick Jr. wrapping up Mary Poppins Mock. Yes, Mary Poppins was released in the theaters in Los Angeles on this day back in 1964, so why not do a Mary Poppins Mock? If you didn't notice, each and every other song was from Mary Poppins, and then the other songs in between mentioned Mary Poppins. That's how it worked. That was the mock. That Harry Connick Jr., yeah, that was him doing his own New Orleans-style jazz version of Spoonful of Sugar. What else was in that set of music? Well, before the Harry Connick Jr., some Circle Jerks went back to Oddities for their song Career Day, because that name dropped Mary Poppins. Vandals in there. Vandals doing their version of Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. A title and a song I can barely say once. Try saying it twice fast, or three times, or sing it like the Vandals did very well. Also played the Wombats in there. Wombats doing Lost in the Post. Suzanne Vega giving us her version of Stay Awake. Weezer went back to the Black Album from Weezer for Too Many Thoughts in My Head. Again, more Mary Poppins name dropping. Garth Hudson gave us that instrumental version of the song Feed the Birds. Pulled that off of a soundtrack, or a compilation actually, called Stay Awake, which was various interpretations of Disney, vintage Disney films that came out back in the late 80s. I'm just mentioning it because, A, it's a fun compilation. You've got the Replacements, Los Lobos, you've got Bill Frisell on it. You even have Ringo Starr. So it's a diverse mix, produced by Hal Wilner. Now, I mention this because we lost Hal a year ago, and I believe we did lose him to COVID, but he put that compilation together, and I just, you know, we're playing it for you, Hal. We are playing it for you, the listener, as well. Before the Garth Hudson, how about some Vic Chestnut, the late Vic Chestnut? Old Hotel off of his Salesman and Bernadette release. And start off the entire set with Joe Pernice. Joe Pernice doing his version of Chim Chim Tree. So that was a Mary Poppins mock. If you have a suggestion for a mock, drop me an email. If you have a suggestion for a song, drop me an email. My email address is wrctrequest@gmail.com. You know, we've got about 27 and a half minutes before we get to the top of the hour and the program ends. So I'm going to cram in. I'm not sure it's a bunch of songs because there's a lot of long songs I want to play. But I have a very special feature for the last half hour of this program because we've moved into the next day. The next day marks the anniversary of, I'll tell you right after this.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just got to hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
So you're asking yourself, Mockster, what is this anniversary you are speaking of? I'm actually speaking of the anniversary of the birth of Leon Theremin. He was a Russian-Soviet electronic musical instruments inventor. He was born in St. Petersburg, Russia, back in 1896 on this day. He passed away at the age of 97 years old back in 1993. So I am honoring Leon Theremin by taking the very next 30 minutes of this program on the anniversary of his birth to play songs that all feature a theremin. That's what I'm doing. And why not start with a classic that probably put the theremin on the map?
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
closer now. Softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good, good vibrations.
Thank you. X-Men. Think I've seen you before, blank, blank to that. You looked a lot older. You've been working out what's wrong with that.
Flaming Lips. Flaming Lips from the Soft Bulletin album, wrapping up that set of music, which all featured one instrument. Well, it featured a whole bunch of instruments, and they probably all had guitars and all the good like stuff like that and drums. But I'm saying they all featured the theremin. Yeah, the theremin. Leon Theremin, born on this day in 1896, the inventor of the theremin. So I played a bunch of tracks for you that all featured the theremin. Gomez before that, Shot was the name of the track. Went back. Yeah, people were like, Moxter, where's your tribute to Charlie Watts? And I'm like, well, I did play a small Stones tribute a few hours ago, which included like a Stones cover, even an official cover. But I hadn't played a Stones song. There was my Stones song. Yeah, I played Please Go Home featuring the theremin on that track. Pixies in there gave us Valoria. Also some Polyphonic Spree with Light and Day. Reach for the Sun from the Beginning Stages of album. And started things off with the Beach Boys. Yeah. You're thinking, you know, Moxter, I guess I have heard the theremin in songs, and I just didn't know what it was. So I wanted to pay tribute to Leon Theremin in the anniversary of his birth. Hey, you know what I should tell you? Well, I've still got about a minute and a half. Well, I got about 5 minutes, but I have one more song for you. And then my night's over. Then my day's over. Then my show is over. That's what's over. I knew something was over. I'm over. I got to remind you that the Westmoreland Cleanways and Recycling, located about 40 minutes outside of Pittsburgh in Greensburg, has received a grant to expand its facility to process any and all types of foam mark number 6. That's clean plates, bowls, clamshells, egg cartons, trays, even that block protective packaging foam that you get when you buy like electronics and furniture, that's included. The grant has been made possible through the Foam Recycling Coalition. You can bring your foam to the drop-off center at 355 Pleasant Unity Mutual Road out in Greensburg. For more information, 724-879-4020 or visit westmorelandcleanways.com. O-R-G. Yeah, I got a couple more things to tell you, and then I've got this last song to get to you. A couple more things. For example, the American Red Cross wants you and your family to be prepared for an emergency. You can download any of their free mobile apps and have critical information on what to do in an emergency right there in the palm of your hand. The apps include first aid, hurricane, earthquake, tornado, and wildfire. Find them by searching Red Cross in the Apple iTunes or Google Play stores. This message brought to you by the American Red Cross and your good friends here at WRCT. I got one more song in my theremin set because I was like, you know, Moxter, you'd be remiss if you did not include one of the many bands that feature a theremin. And you're like, many bands? Lots of bands. Lots of Pittsburgh bands, I should say. So let's go to Pittsburgh's own Gothies and their take on Daily Nightly. It's my last song of the night. Thank you so much for tuning in. Sometimes
welcome to Bibimbap here on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. This is your show host, Yunsu. And for today's show, we have a very special guest. They were one of my closest friends at the radio station and still are today. And they graduated 2 years ago, so they're a WRCT alumni. Hello, Claire. Thank you for coming out today. And how are you doing?
Hello. Thank you for inviting me to Bibimbap. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's pretty chilly in New Jersey today, and it's quite rainy, but I won't let the weather get me down, and I am quite excited to do a K-pop show with you today.
Of course, this is a show across state lines today.
Claire was one of the first people that kind of got me into radio, or like was like one of my first friends at the radio station at CMU, and they were the internal music director during my first year there, and I kind of succeeded them, I guess, took the mantle.
You did succeed me. I corralled you into joining the radio station, staying in the radio station, and taking up an executive position at the radio station.
You truly are an influencer.
I was all in at the radio station. Yeah, I was internal music director, but before that, I was public affairs director for 2 years, and I had a couple of like various shows under various DJ names. I think my last one was DJ C-Day, but that was all in the past. Now I no longer go to CMU as I've graduated, but today happy to cover some topics that DJ Yunsu and I are both very enthusiastic about, which is
K-pop.
Woo. K-pop time.
All right, so let's get right into it. How did you get introduced to K-pop, and what was your first experience like with it?
Yeah. My first experience with K-pop was actually through my older sister, because she was into it. But I think she was into it because she used to watch Korean variety shows like Running Man and Family Outing, and I think Two Days, One Night or whatever it was called back then. And because there would be K-pop artists and singers on those shows, she would listen to the music then, and then we would sort of get into it together.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any like specific K-pop songs that you were like really into back then?
Okay, I don't think I was into them, but my sister was. Specifically, I remember Kim Jong-kook, who now is often sort of just known as a TV personality, I think. He was in Turbo, which was a duo, I believe, and he had a song called Happy Virus, which my sister burned onto a mix CD, which we would listen to all the time in the car, along with Murotic by TVXQ and other songs by TVXQ, including their Japanese releases, which I thought were by a different band because they're known as DBSK in Japan.
TVXQ is really old. Do you know when they debuted? I feel like...
I don't think they're like that old. They're still only like 2000. I think they debuted after the year 2000.
That's to me, that's really old.
All right, well, you're a baby, so yeah, definitely that. Those were like sort of the first groups. And then I distinctly remember my sister asking my dad to buy albums when he went to Korea for a business trip. Oh, but I think he didn't understand which group was which, so he just came back with Big Bang and Super Junior and no TVXQ, as far as I remember.
Damn. So no, none of your favorite.
Well, I didn't know who these people were at the time. My sister just liked them. Did you also get into these at like a younger age?
Yeah. TVXQ was not a group that I was familiar with back then. It was definitely more like Son Yoshida or Girls' Generation, Big Bang and SHINee, I think. Those three were probably the biggest ones.
I think the fact that you were in, like, you can say SHINee as one of your first groups proves that you're a baby.
SHINee is still fairly recent. They're still going on strong too.
Right. I mean, TVXQ is still going. It's just so is Suju.
Wait, really?
What? Yes, they just released something. Oh my gosh.
I did not know that actually.
Also, you know from TVXQ is releasing solo stuff.
Okay.
They're not like dead.
They're not dead, thankfully. But is there new stuff good? Like, have you listened to
it? I have listened to it. It's very... Well, it's hard to express. Maybe we can go into this later, but it is very like solo artist of a group that debuted many, many years ago.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, I also listened to Big Bang though. And one of the songs that you mentioned is one that I also listened to a lot, which was Haru Haru by Big Bang.
Oh my God, yeah.
Plus the music video, which was definitely one of the first things that got me interested in K-pop, the music video.
That music video was so dramatic. The black and white and like
right. It's not even in black and white. I think it's in sepia tone.
Okay.
Spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen this music video, but in it, someone dies in the hospital and there's a lot of crying and running, and it's all in this terrible 2009 sepia effect that looks like it's maybe 200 pixels if you're lucky. Yeah. If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, yeah. Oh my god, that song truly, I don't know. I just play that song all the time back in the day.
Yeah, it's like one of those songs, if you hear even the first couple notes of it and whatever they whisper at the beginning, you are suddenly thrown back to to it. Maybe we could listen to it now.
Let's do it. So up next, or this first song that I'll play for you guys, is Haru Haru by Big Bang. And I hope you guys enjoy it as much as we did back in our youth.
Yeah, finally I realized there are nothing without you. I was wrong, forgive me.
Haru, haru. say goodbye, bye, oh, my love. Don't lie, lie, yo, my heart. Say goodbye.
All right, that was, once again, that was Haru Haru by Big Bang off of their third mini album, Stand Up. It was definitely an interesting song for its time, but I kind of want to move on to some of more recent times, I guess, and talk about what we think our favorite groups and albums are now, or of all time, I should say.
Of all time, my gosh,
yeah,
big words.
Or now, it could be. You can have multiple.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would definitely say that even though my sister got me into K-pop at the very beginning, or I gained some awareness of it culturally, as much as like an eighth grader can be cultured, I didn't really get into K-pop until probably like 2012 or 2013, which was a while after that. But like coming from then, I think even from their debut, EXO was and is one of my favorite groups of all time. I'll say it.
Am I surprised? No.
Okay, well, what's your favorite group now?
I think for me, it's got to be Red Velvet. Red Velvet kind of got me back into K-pop. Because I was into K-pop like in middle school. And then I kind of stopped for a while because like a lot of my like white friends kind of made fun of me for listening to K-pop. So I was like, maybe it's not cool to listen to K-pop. Mm. But yeah, Red Velvet got me like back into it. Bad Boy and that whole album, the second, the Perfect Red Velvet album, mm-hmm. Was just so good. Like,
so these are all more, these are more recent discoveries then.
Yeah, I'd say honestly, like sophomore year of college. So like 2 years
ago.
Wow,
very recent.
Yeah, because like you, Alice, and Iris would like listen to K-pop.
Through the power of osmosis, you were forced to listen to it. And through having so many to sample from, you found a couple that you really enjoyed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that, and I know that you really like the song Four Walls by FX.
That is truly one of my favorite songs as well. I don't know if I'd say they're my favorite group just because I haven't listened to most of their discography. But FX, Four Walls, definitely at least in my top five,
yeah,
or top three favorite K-pop songs.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of my favorite songs too.
All right, then I think it's a good time to listen to it right now. Up next is Four Walls by our beloved FX. Hope you guys enjoy.
Love is for one.
right, you guys just heard Four Walls by FX, and the chorus in that song is truly one of a kind, I think.
Yeah, it's so iconic, and even the instrumentation of it, I actually listened to a remix where someone remixed this with some Blackpink song, but all I could think about while listening to the remix was that I would rather be listening to Four Walls by FX.
I'm sorry to say. It simply cannot be replicated or replaced, I think.
Yes, yeah. So this song was written by a member of Jam Factory, Lee Soo-ran, but composition and the final producing was handled by London Noise, Tay Jasper, and Adrian McKinnon. I want to note that Adrian McKinnon is probably one of my favorite top liners and songwriters that works with SM. He's worked on a ton of stuff with SM, and I think his vocal, the way he writes vocals, is really recognizable and probably some of my favorite stuff.
You said you worked a lot with SM?
Yeah, so he worked on the song for FX. He's done songs now for Wavy, NCT. I think he also worked on some songs for SHINee, but he's also done a lot of recognizable songs for EXO, as well as for my favorite member of EXO, Baekhyun, and his solo work, such as Candy. But I want to highlight one of my other favorite songs, which he also worked on, which is Superhuman by NCT 127. If we're talking about my favorite taste in K-pop, my interests mostly go towards songs where there's a lot of vocal stacking, harmonies, and really slick production. And I think one of the unique things about K-pop is that because oftentimes the groups are so large, which is sometimes intimidating if you're coming from not being used to that, because the groups are so large, they have a lot of options for vocal experimentation, where you can have stacked harmonies while other people are rapping or doing sing rap or just doing dramatic line readings over the top. But Superhuman is all about that harmony, and I think it is probably a song unlike any other.
Shall we give it a listen then?
Let's listen to Superhuman by NCT 127.
Right on time, and 그래서 위서 팔서 위서 한계 지금엔 try 충격을 넘어 서로 깨칠 엄청나게 나 되고 심침 네가 먼저 끝을 말하지 않으면 끝이 아니야
가장 뜨거웠던 그 장면을 맘에 담아
Got me feeling like a superhero I know I can fly yeah.
한계를 넘어 Superhuman 네 순간 진짜 진짜 봐봐 감정과 소통 나의 맘에 깨워봐 You say in my heart You wanna feel it say yeah Superhuman
We just listened to the song Superhuman by NCT 127. Like I said, the harmonies in the song are awesome. I really like that choral sort of progression, even though it's not really chorus arrangement, but just that multitude of voices. And I think having those really strong vocals is a favorite point of mine when it comes to K-pop.
Yeah, and also another aspect of K-pop that I really enjoy is the music video. And like that music video is so good, like the effects and all the colors. It's
the effects, the composition effects. I showed this to my friend who works in animation and he was like, oh my god, the amount of work that went into this, I don't even want to think about it. So I take that as a good sign. I take that as a compliment personally.
I think there's one other boy group that is more higher on the list.
Wow, higher on my list and higher on your list, I think.
Yeah,
but it is EXO, which I mentioned earlier. Definitely the first group that got me really into K-pop. And even though over the years they've gone through a lot of changes and a lot of them are enlisted and or have already enlisted in the military by now, one of my favorite albums by EXO, and I know one of your favorite albums by EXO, is EXACT, which was their third studio album, which came out in 2016. It has a dual single promotion, Lucky One and Monster, both of which I think are some of my top songs of all time.
And probably some of my favorite songs of all time too, honestly.
Wow, Monster, it's almost like we have similar music taste or something.
Maybe it's because you keep infecting me with...
infecting you only with the good stuff.
Yeah, you're right. But damn, yeah, Monster. I honestly wasn't a huge fan of EXO until I think you showed me Monster. And then I was like, this is kind of too good.
I sort of feel like you were being stubborn about not liking EXO, but
yeah, maybe okay. Just a tiny bit,
just a little bit.
But Monster changed me.
Yeah, this was one of the top albums, and it brings up, like you said, the music videos, because they released two music videos almost back to back, and the concepts in the two different music videos were really interesting. But still, most of all, most important to me is their base of vocal R&B style, and that production style. So like I mentioned, London Noise has produced a lot of songs for EXO and other SM groups. They actually produced Monster, and they worked on other songs on the album. And I think having that signature slick production sound is something I really like. Speaking of which, one of my other favorite producers is Tak, who often works with One Dance on songs for Lovelies. But my top pick from them would be the remix of TT by Twice, which TT by itself is already a banger, a song that you will knock it out of your head. But the remix is also really awesome to me. Do you have any top girl group songs? Well, I know you love Red Velvet. And
yeah, Red Velvet. We're both SM fans for sure, I think.
Well, you like other groups that aren't SM as well.
That is true. That's very true. We both
such
do.
As
Luna, for sure. Luna is... that the mix and match EP that they released is, I think either top one or top two albums of all, in my list of K-pop.
Wow, I see how it is. I agree. Luna's incredible, and their concept and their release scheduling was really novel at the time. Although I didn't follow super closely, as I don't follow anything that closely. It was really interesting, and like their group dynamic with 12 members is pretty insane.
Yeah, pretty crazy. And then each subgroup has like their own lore and stuff. It's like kind of insane.
I think the subunit practice is very interesting because each subunit can develop their own style, like you said, along with their own lore. Yeah. And that makes them really unique.
Right. The Mix and Match EP came from the Odd Eye Circle subunit, I believe. And my favorite song from that EP, it's got to be between Lunatic and Girlfront.
Oh.
I think Girlfront is more of like a quintessential like pop song, but Lunatic, I think like it's like so. It's like almost like, to me, a Sweet Trip song.
Wow! Whoa! High like praise.
Like the production and the vocals and stuff. It's like dreamy and lush and ethereal. It's like kind of crazy. So it's got to be in between those two. But I think, should we listen to one of them? Should we listen to Lunatic?
Yeah. Pick one and let's listen.
All right, let's listen to Lunatic, since I think right now that's my favorite. But yeah, up next is Lunatic by Luna, Odd Eye Circle, and off of the album Mix and Match. Hope you guys enjoy. Once again, that was Lunatic by Luna Odd Eye Circle off of their EP Mix and Match.
Such an awesome song.
Mm-hmm. The vocals, truly.
The vocals, the production, the super bouncy sort of soundscape that's in there with the synths and the percussion. Mm-hmm. A dream pop vibe.
Dream poppy, for sure.
Yeah. All right, I do want to spotlight one other EP, not a full-length album, that is not as poppy, but definitely worth listening to. is Jonghyun's The Story EP, which is a collection of songs that he wrote based on callers to his late night radio show, which of course I think is something that is pretty close to my heart, as I used to do a late night radio show. And all of the songs on that EP are really, really good. That's all that I have to say. I think they're all very emotional and really like intimate in the way that late night radio is.
Are they more like ballad-esque or?
Yeah, I would say they're slower and more on the ballad side. They're not nearly as poppy.
Okay. Damn. Do you want to play any right now or?
No, they're too sad.
That's fair.
Maybe we can put that at the end of this section. But yeah. I think they're all really good.
Yeah.
And and another like favorite album that I have. Mm-hmm. Another favorite album that I have is Taemin, who was Jonghyun's bandmate in SHINee. His two recent albums, Never Gonna Dance Again, volumes 1 and 2, I think really showcase his growth as an artist from when he did his first solo songs when he was just a little baby with other SM people, the infamous Pretty Boy featuring Kai. But now he is definitely a full-fledged solo artist in his own right, along with his work with SHINee. And I think Criminal off of Never Gonna Dance Again is a really high growth. It shows how much he's grown as an artist, and it has such a strong concept. Not only the music video is very entertaining, but the lyrics and the whole dance concept that he's worked on, which I don't think we've talked that much about, like the dance component of K-pop.
Yeah, that's very true. Dancing is also a very big part of K-pop. The choreography must be so difficult.
But yeah, and the fact that these artists sing and dance at the same time live is so impressive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't often watch the video and listen at the same time. You know, if I'm going to listen, I just listen to the audio, to be quite honest. But the audio itself is definitely a standalone piece as well.
Mm-hmm. Taemin is definitely one of my favorite members of SHINee. So I am glad to see him doing so well and making like wonderful music.
But yeah. Did you know he's enlisting at the end of this month?
I did not know. That's crazy. Everybody's enlisting now.
I think they're reaching that age. He's enlisting on May 31st.
Okay. Damn. Truly sad.
We'll miss him.
But he'll come back at some point. So
at some point. Eventually.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I haven't actually forced us to play any EXO songs, so now I have to. And actually I'm going to make us listen to Bambi by Baekhyun off of his new EP.